This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Hello, and welcome to In the Limelight, Vanity Fair's entertainment and pop culture podcast. I'm Josh Duboff, Vanity Fair's senior writer, and I'm here with Julie Miller, Vanity Fair's senior Hollywood writer.
On In the Limelight, we analyze the ins and outs of pop culture, entertainment, and celebrity from the past week, from the Kardashians to Kate Middleton and everything in between.
On this week's episode, we have so much royal news to get into. We last week were off in all sorts of places. We're actually going to talk a little bit about where I was because it is relevant to our topics today. But we have so much to dig into. Meghan and Kate, you actually had two appearances together since we last recorded. And Meghan, as so many of you messaged us, had another departure within her staff, which we are obviously very excited to talk about as well. So let's dig into this.
Let's dig into this. Josh, first, let's get into London, though. This is my first time talking to Josh since he got back. And I'm so curious whether you spotted any royals, went to any kind of landmarks, Meghan Markle landmarks. How was the trip?
Yes. So I was in London for a few days. I remember, I think I texted you, Julie, like the day before I was leaving, realizing I needed to make sure I paid some respects to Meghan while I was there. I did a few kind of searches. It's hard to know exactly how to honor her, I feel like, in London. I am pretty happy with what I did, though, which is the first night I was there, I went to dinner at, let me make sure I have the name of the restaurant right, Buco di Lupo is the name of it. And it is known to be one of her favorite London restaurants. And it is on a bunch of the lists of like Meghan Markle's London haunts. And it's a kind of like Italian, sort of a little fancier, but I wouldn't say like out of control, but very like fresh foods, very small portions. So you order a lot of things. And they said she makes secret, covert runs to like get food there. So I kind of had a weird premonition that it was going to work out well for me because it was the same day. It was the same day she made that. I think it was the day she, it was like one of the events. She's been to so many events the past couple of weeks, but there was like the first time she and Kate went to the same thing, and it was like a daytime event. So I was kind of imagining that she had to get all dressed up for like a noontime event. All the royals were there. The queen was there at the palace, and that she was going to like turn to Harry after and say like, let's just go to Boca, like get some food. Like, we'll go early so people won't really be around. So I went for a 5:30 reservation because that's all I could get day of. And I sat at the bar and there was no sign of her. So the story, this is like a letdown of an ending. I kind of did like a casing the joint sort of scenario. I think the waitress like thought I was insane. I will say the food was great. I could imagine her going there, but I did not see her.
I have to say, when I got this text message from Josh, I mistook the name of the restaurant for Buca di Pepo, that like Italian chain restaurant where I think I went to homecoming dinner like back in Pittsburgh, and I was very confused. I was like, that's Meghan's favorite restaurant in London, this chain? But how was the decor inside? Did it seem very Meghan?
It did. It seemed especially... Oh, yes. Wow. See, so I like just typed in the name of the restaurant and like all the top things that come out. If you used to follow Markle on Instagram, you know she loves Italian food and all things Italy. Boca di Lupo is a restaurant she frequented in London before she was a royal. And according to LUK, rumor has it she still dines there secretly. The restaurant also happens to be one of the best Italian restaurants in the whole city, so it's not shocking she still returns. I took a photo of my appetizer. I'm not really sure what I planned to do with that photo. I didn't post it or anything.
I feel like you had to. Meghan would have done that as well.
Yeah, I tried to take it. I'm going to text it to Julie now and we'll get a live reaction. I felt like that I framed it in the way I thought Megan would have framed it back in her days of posting. It was delicious. It was like a spaghetti carbonara, sort of like a little appetizer portion. Yeah, I think it definitely seemed like her. It was all very, everything was like a very it wasn't whimsical per se, but it was very like homespun. It didn't feel like super fancy, like you had to kind of be on guard, sort of. You know what I mean? It was more like you could relax a little, but it was still very nice. Okay, I just sent you the appetizer.
That is such perfect Meghan Markle framing, yeah. Because he doesn't have the complete bird's eye view, which I think is not cool. It's a very chic. It's exactly, and it looks like you had some sort of glass of wine in front of you. This is perfect Meghan, classic Meghan. And that does look delicious.
Yeah,
Meghan would be so proud, Josh. And so touched that you made that pilgrimage to one of her favorite.
I know. And I was only in London for a short period of time. I did see a few other sort of, there was a lot of like memorabilia. There was a lot of like, I noticed that whenever you went into kind of like an airport shop or any sort of like tourist little hut kind of thing, they always had some sort of Meghan Harry memorabilia. I was going to buy a mug, but it was too difficult. I went to Barcelona as well before I came back, and I just couldn't figure out how to get everything along, but I should have. This happened sort of, I think, like right as I was about to fly to London, that another aide has left, which now makes it four, right? Or third. This is the third, right?
No, this is the fourth employee. There was also one security.
Oh, right. The bodyguard.
But I love how this timing lined up. Like, this announcement comes in just as you're on a plane into London. It's like you almost knew somehow, and you were headed there, I hope, with some sort of resume in hand. But it was reported that another staffer, Meghan's assistant private secretary, Amy Pickerel, is leaving her role at Kensington Palace. A source told Bizarre.com, Amy is leaving after the arrival of Meghan and Harry's baby. The Duchess will be very sad to see her go, but is excited for her as Amy has exciting plans ahead, including spending some time abroad. Go, Amy. I love that Amy's going to do a little eat, pray, love for herself. Amy had originally
planned... That's funny, too, because it's almost like what Meghan would want to do, I feel like. Like, the freedom to travel and do whatever. It's, like, almost adding insult to injury.
Right. So back to this statement from the palace. Amy had originally planned on staying until at least the end of the year. But with a baby coming, it makes sense to help recruit someone now who can pick up when the Duchess returns to her official work. They will definitely stay in touch, and Amy will be on hand for any advice and help that is needed in the future. I love that a source told People that the two were very close and this split was very amicable. I have so many questions about like the nature of their relationship and what constitutes closeness between the Duchess and an aide.
It's also interesting because I hadn't read the statement until just the full statement until now. I feel like they really went overboard because maybe, I guess, because of the previous departures to make this sound extremely friendly. Like, I just feel like I can see the kind of PR summit that happened before this story went out. Because I feel like they definitely want you to think that, like, Meghan was like, bye, girl. Like, you know, like, was so happy for her to leave, like, giving her, like, recommendations for where to, like, go on her Eat, Pray, Love trip or something.
Right. Well, it's very curious to me because if a fourth Meghan staffer was putting in her notice, don't you think that the palace would have offered her like some sort of raise or enticement to stay just so that they didn't have to deal with another rumor of a departing?
And this
staff
is such
member?
A like a high. This is like a high profile one. And one that if Meghan really did like her, you would think it would be a really sad, like stressful one to leave. Yeah.
Right, especially there's so much transition she's had in the past year between her new royal role, now moving and having the baby.
I'm kind of surprised they weren't like, we'll give you a tiara on this on the DL or something, or like sweetening the deal sort of. God, what if I had gone and just showed up at the palace to like audition for the replacement job?
That is the Hallmark movie I want and need in my life. Please.
Like me being on the plane.
What would the second act?
I mean, honestly, now that I'm thinking about it, it's such a missed opportunity on my part. Me on the plane, Amy Pickerel deciding to leave. She now has like no aides, like no one in her office. Me showing up with a clipboard with a loaf of banana bread, like all different, you know, my application written out on a banana, like the banana message, handed over to Megan, like stand at the palace until I get an audience with some nice flowers, maybe.
I feel like in some ways you did apply to the universe that you
went,
went to
the
restaurant.
Like I had this feeling in my, you know, bones that Megan was going to meet me there for the job interview. Well,
maybe she was tied up. Maybe that's like the first act break. You find out that there was some miscommunication and she was there on, at the wrong time. Maybe that's what
also
happened.
You know, these people are all aware of the narratives that like Amy must have known what her leaving was going to look like, too.
I like to think that Amy went in there and she had a negotiation. Maybe she asked them to double her salary. Yeah. Maybe she didn't expect them to let go. She put on her working woman suit.
And was like, just ready to like make her requests and ask, go for broke. Why shouldn't she? And then they decided they weren't willing to play ball, I guess.
That's the narrative I want. I also love that a source told the Daily Mail that Amy's departure is very sad for her colleagues, as she is really a really popular member of staff. I'm so curious what the interior politics looks like inside the palace and what makes her popular with the other staff members. Is it that she's like hilarious? She brings in brownies every Friday. She cooked herself. Is she the first one to organize like drinks out? What do you think?
I feel like there's a very interesting, I feel like we've mentioned something like this before, but like a reality show to be had about the staff for the Sussexes. Like there's so much drama clearly with this day to day circus. And I feel, it sounds like people really liked her. I don't know.
Man. So she, of course, joined Samantha Cohen in leaving once Harry and Meghan's baby is born. I love that Us Weekly, like People was very diplomatic, as was Harper's, about not kind of naming the body count since Meghan's become the Duchess. But Us Weekly did not refrain. They very much pointed out that it was the fourth Meghan person to flee. It seems curious to me also that every single departing aide has been named first and last name, aside from this bodyguard. Is that weird, Josh, or does that...
Yeah, and it's also because we all remember Melissa Gate, and that one was weird because we knew there was a departure. Then it was Melissa. Then I think we got the last name. Then this one, the second one, Samantha the Panther, I guess we knew right away. Yeah, it does feel like now, and then this one felt, but that one was a little weird too. I feel like they weren't quite ahead of the narrative. I feel like it came out Samantha Cohen was leaving. This one felt like they were ready to try to control it fully.
Right, exactly. They had the information.
But I don't really know if it necessarily softens it so much.
I also love the narrative if there was some sort of movie about all these ex-aides like meeting up at some sort of Greek island, like Mamma Mia style.
Yeah, like First Wives Club or something. Also, also, what do they all do next? Like, I'm curious. I need the follow-up in 1 year. Like, I need to know what Melissa, Samantha, and now Amy are all going to be doing in their next jobs. Like, where do you go from this? I assume they all sign NDAs or something. I mean, I guess none of them can write books or anything, but like, I just feel like they almost have these crazy stories. The three of them, I agree. The three of them must want to just, I feel like that group text between the three of them must be the most like fun group text there is, where they can all actually like talk about what's going on for real.
I know. If anyone has any information on these women, where they are now, their whereabouts, or just maybe a very affordable PI that Josh and I could hire, that'd be very much appreciated.
Yeah, and obviously, if you're familiar with any of the three of them and college friends, maybe with Amy, let us know.
Please let us know.
Melissa, enough time has passed that you can just come on the show, I feel like.
I know. Well, once they announced Amy's exit, people, Us Weekly, pulled up all these photos because she was always in the photos right next to Meghan whenever she was coming in and out of an event. And poor Meghan was like smiling, but poor Amy looked so stressed. Like, I really think she needs that abroad trip.
It's a stressful job, so. I'm sure.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm sure.
So let's talk. Okay, this is one of the first times. I feel like we had the most direct sort of quotage from Megan at this in the past week as we have in the previous year before that. She made an appearance on International Women's Day, Julie, with an interesting group.
It was very interesting. So she was on the panel. It was at an event at King's College London, along with Annie Lennox.
Yeah, like where, how, why? I'm very confused.
I know, as well as nonprofit executives Angeline Muramirwa, Chrisanne Jarrett, and Julia Guillard. They all discussed women's challenges and their hopes for the future. Before it began, the charity's Twitter account announced that Meghan had been named its vice president. Her husband, Prince Harry, was named the president of the organization last April. So this all seems very, I don't know, by the book, maybe like nothing. It doesn't sound like the sexiest of events, but boy, did Meghan deliver on the wild quotes. The panel's chairwoman, Anne McElvey, asked Markle, "How's that bump treating you?" Josh, do you want to read the Duchess's reply?
Yeah, I will. But also, by the way, that question, a little weird, I thought. Like, yeah. Obviously, we're up for throwing any question at any subject, basically. But that was a little, how's that bump treating you to a pregnant woman? I find, like, a little strange.
Also, very casual, yeah. Right? Yeah, informal.
It's this weird mix of, like, casual and the jargon of how's that bump treating you. I don't know. Okay, anyways, the Duchess replied, "Very well. It's funny. I don't really know how to do my Meghan voice, I just realized. Very well. It's funny. I've actually been joking in the past few weeks," and get ready for the most Meghan-y turn here. "I had seen this documentary on Netflix about feminism, and one of the things that they said during pregnancy was, I feel the embryonic kicking of feminism. I love that. So boy or girl, whatever it is, we hope that's the case with our little bump." I mean, I cannot think of anything more Meghan-y than quoting a Netflix documentary about pregnancy that refers to the embryonic kicking of feminism of this her baby bump.
Right? I know. Was she just waiting for the right moment to bring up that documentary? Also, if you're going to bring up the documentary, whoever that filmmaker is, I would be enraged that they didn't actually name drop what the movie was.
Yeah, I actually am interested in that. Like, what was this documentary? Though I have to say, this made me realize, and we'll get into our other quotes in a second, she has, like, I feel like there's so much stuff she's been, like, bottling up that she wants to say and that she's wanted to post about and wanted to reference. Like, I feel like she had that quote ready to go. She wanted to bring up the documentary. She wanted to bring up that this particular way of referring to pregnancy. Like, she's looking for that platform to speak, and I feel like that's why this panel even happened.
Right. Also, what was Harry doing while Meghan had that documentary on? What do you think?
He was like checking basketballs, or like, I don't even know what. He might have been watching, like, but like not paying attention, you know what I mean? Like on his phone. Oh, here's what I actually think. I feel like Meghan already watched it while Harry was like out playing rugby, yes, or polo. Then she was like, I want to watch it again. And you know that thing when you make your like person you're dating, yes, or whatever, husband in this case, watch something with you and you're like watching them to see their reaction.
Right.
I feel like she was watching Harry to see his reaction. And I think he acted like into it because I just feel like Harry's so on board with this whole thing at this point. But
what a charitable answer.
But maybe not. I hate that when you're like, when someone's watching you to see your reaction. I hate that.
Same here. She was also asked about Twitter. This is another Meghan-y response. Josh, do you want to go with it again since you're in the Meghan, yeah, mindset?
Someone asked me today if they think Meghan, how much of a British accent she speaks with these days. And I was like, probably a lot. I feel like she must have really adopted it, but I'm not going to do that in my quoting. Okay, so she was asked, I guess, just what if she looks at social media, right?
Right.
My personal decision is not to feed into negativity and be more cause-driven, action-based. For me, it's a tricky one because I'm not... Oh, sorry, they asked specifically if she looks at Twitter. For me, it's a tricky one because I'm not part of any of that. I don't look at it. Sorry, no. For me, that is my personal preference, but I do read The Economist. And we should note that the panel discussion was moderated by an editor at The Economist, which I feel like was a quick save by her part.
Right. Do you think she actually reads
The Economist? I don't know. But I feel like she quickly realized that's like the savviness of Megan. I feel like she realized like quickly as she was saying it, she had to say that or else it would seem strange. I'm very disappointed. That means she doesn't see the In the Limelight tweets about her.
Right.
Though, I only believe this somewhat in that I feel like she definitely looks at Instagram. I feel like Instagram is her vibe. She likes kind of the photos, the recipes, the inspirational quotes, the vistas. Twitter, I could see her doing without at this point. If she feels like it's a negative space. I feel like I feel that way sometimes too. Like Instagram's a more positive place to visit.
Absolutely. Megan also made a point of adding that she seeks out journalism that's really covering things that are going to make an impact. So of course she listens to this podcast. And she said that backstage, we were talking about Tanzania and the article The Economist just did. Like, this is what I imagine every conversation is kind of with Megan. Things like that, that are really talking about how the role of women is really shifting and changing. That's key. Focus your energy there and not on the stuff that is perhaps muddling you down. Josh, I feel like you and I could both take a lot of inspiration from this last piece of advice. We need to focus our energy on the positivity and not stuff that is perhaps muddling you.
It's the no bad energy that her mantra that we latched onto at the beginning. It continues to come back, and Megan continues to remind us, you've got to just strip it all away and focus on what brings you joy in life. Julie and I are oh so good at that.
So good at that. Do we think that Harry knows what The Economist is?
I love this. I love Julie so much that the last question in this is just, do you think Harry knows what The Economist is? I do not think he reads it. I think he knows what it is. I feel like, what do you think?
No, I think you're exactly right. But I would love for Alex Trebek or Pat Sajak to host some sort of game show where all the royals have to compete in a challenge about things everyday people encounter and face.
I know. I always am just the whole thing of like how celebrities monitor. Maybe I have too much cynicism, but I just can't. I feel like they all basically look at a lot of stuff. Like, how do you not? It's just a human impulse. Like, you have to be such a, I don't know, enlightened person to not look at stuff written about you or, like, want to hear what people are saying about you or look at comments about you. And it just is so hard for me to believe that even the people who don't have public Instagrams or Twitters aren't looking in some way.
Agreed.
Especially if, like, you used to be on it like Megan was. I don't know. I just feel like it seems so hard for me to imagine. That said, they have all this money and power and can do so many more interesting things and look at social media. So maybe they just don't care what anyone thinks.
Just don't care. Okay, shoot. I just realized I have to leave in 10 minutes for a doctor's appointment. So we should...
Okay, let's get into this last section before... the time runs out. Okay, let's leave that in, please. Okay, Kate and Megan have had two appearances together. Just like Megan, taking a page out of her new inspirational words. I tried not to look at social media much on my trip in Europe, and it was nice, I guess. It was hard to stay away, but I did. And one of the first headlines, because there was so much royal happenings when we were gone, when I was catching up to see what I had missed, I saw this headline, Kate Middleton and Meghan Markle squash feud rumors with a kiss. I was like, wow, Julie and I really miss like the major news. I have to say this headline makes some promises that I'm not sure the story delivers on.
I know. Like, I read that headline, I'm thinking Madonna and Britney Spears. Yeah, I know. The VMAs.
It's just like a salacious headline. It's from E! Online. I don't know. Okay, but so they, as we mentioned, they made an appearance earlier in the week that was sort of weird. It was a daytime event at the palace with the queen. We never saw them really interact in the same photograph. Like, the palace posted all these photographs and they were in both of them, but you never saw Kate or Meghan look at each other. And it was weirdly like Meghan in the background while Kate was in the foreground. And then there was this video that went around, Julie, I'm not sure if you saw it, where it kind of looks like Kate was looking back at Meghan. So some people were using that as evidence that they had like somehow spoken to each other. I feel like you can't really even tell what exactly went on. If they, it was a little weird to me. It seemed like a cold energy. So that was like the first appearance. Then on Monday, they went to the Commonwealth Day service. So this was their second joint appearance or thing that they're both at in a week. And this one was much different. So as E puts it, they were spotted sharing a double cheek kiss inside Westminster Abbey. William was happy to see Meghan too. William greeted her with a double cheek kiss as well. This is insane. I never would have expected I would be in a professional context reading about two double cheek kisses between like normal adults who are related to each other. But this is life.
I've never shared a double cheek kiss with anyone I've remotely liked. Anyone who even attempts a double cheek kiss,
you
I kind
flinch
of hate.
And move away.
Yes.
So they sat down at this service, Kate, William, Harry, Meghan, and Katie Nichol, who was on the podcast in December. She reported in Vanity Fair, they might not have a huge amount in common, but Kate has no issue with Meghan. She wants them to get along, not just for Harry's sake, but because two royal sisters-in-law at loggerheads wouldn't be good, and Kate knows that. For Kate, it's about keeping the relationship professional and putting on a show of togetherness. So, and Katie Nichol reported that Kate was the one who instigated this kind of warm interaction at Westminster Abbey. It's not always
Kate,
been
such
easy.
A pro.
Sorry?
Such a pro. She's such a pro.
It's not always been easy. There have been issues behind the scenes, but Harry and Meghan want to leave on good terms, and Kate especially has been making a real effort. There are no bad feelings, and I think Kate was keen to put an end to the rift rumors. And then Julie, our new champion who we need to get on this podcast, Judy James. Judy spelled as J-U-D-I as in Dench. She is a body language expert. She spoke to Cosmopolitan. Don't ask me how I landed on this article. But Judy James, body language expert, said, I want Judy James to follow me around and tell me what like people in my life
I
think
know.
About me.
Exactly.
What a job to just kind of monitor people and riff on what you think of what they actually mean to each other. It was clear Kate and Meghan were keen to signal bonds of warm friendship today rather than the either distant or over-congruent displays from the last couple of outings, Judy James explained, adding that Meghan seemed to be the one trying to reignite the spark while Kate made more active moves towards her sister-in-law. Julie, imagine being described in that way, making active moves towards friendliness towards someone.
I mean, we really, underneath this, Josh just has in all caps, can we please get Judy James on the show, followed by about 50 exclamation points. I mean, what analysis, what a name, what a spirit, even from this read. I love everything about her, and Judy James, let's not forget that name anytime soon.
And Judy also pointed out that this is a major change in their behavior. From the outing on March 5th, which Judy James described. Do you also like how I'm always referring to her by her full name?
When you have a name like that, it has to
it's
be.
Like
it
in
would
Star
be like
is Born,
crime.
In Star yeah. is Born when Jackson Maine says that when you become famous, people start calling you by two names. Judy James described them as distant in the past and that there were quite a bit of side eyes from fans due to the undeniably awkward vibes. So Julie, no relation to Judy James. Julie, do you think, God, I'm really losing it. Do you think that this most recent appearance where they did the double cheek kiss, they looked at each other in the service, does this mean anything to you? Do you really just think it was Kate being strategic or Meghan being strategic? Or do you think things are actually all good between them now?
I think that Kate is such a pro. She knows she's going to be queen one day, and she is not putting a foot wrong. She's taking all the right steps. She's professional, even with people she hates and can't stand. I get the sense that Kate's the kind of person who's going to greet them with a smile. She knows what her role is. Meghan has caused so many waves already. She doesn't want to add any additional ones. What stands out to me, though, is the fact that Katie Nichol does not mention really William and Harry's relationship. If that's changed at all, I know they were sitting together, but...
It was a little... And actually, you know what? We've definitely talked about this before, but there's like this weird, not double standard. I don't know if that's the right word for it or if that's too dramatic, but like, it is weird to me. Like, I was looking at the photos of all four of them this morning, and it's William and Harry are in the middle, Meghan and Kate are on the ends, and like William and Harry barely look at each other, and they look almost frosty. Like, they're not whispering, they're not like laughing, there's none of that. And like, I feel like but no one mentions that, obviously. I don't know, it's just kind of weird. Like, something's going on, I feel like, maybe even between them, and that's what the issue is, which I know had been reported before.
We need to get Katie Nichol back on the podcast and see what she's heard about them.
Yes. But this was, I think, also going to be the last appearance, Katie noted, that both of them would be at before Meghan sort of, kind of, you know, has her first child. So it'll be interesting to watch.
Right. And interesting to hear when Doria hosts that second baby shower.
Right. What we need to figure out when that's happening and if Kate will be involved in any way. I feel like they're both making so many appearances recently that it's like, to me, it just seems like Meghan must be so, like, she did the Morocco trip. She's doing all these appearances. She's in her third trimester. I would be exhausted doing all of that, not even being, you know, under the scrutiny she is.
Princess Diana's energy. I feel like Diana would have staged a fun photo op to really have the two of them.
Let us know what you think about all of these, the Kate Meghan-ness of it all, Amy leaving, if you have any insight into that, Meghan's thoughts on social media. God, all of this could be its own episode in other weeks. There's so much Meghan to catch up on.
I know.
And we'll have a lot more to get into next week as well. Send us your questions and thoughts. So that does it for this week's episode. And thanks for listening. And please remember to rate, review us on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. And it helps us find new listeners, spread the word, and let us know what you think.
You can also leave us a voicemail at 347-790-0966. Or follow us on Twitter at In The Limelight to discuss any of these subjects. You can also follow us individually. I'm at Julie W. Miller.
And I'm at Jay Duboff. We're also on Instagram at In The Limelight Pod. Hopefully Instagram, which was down today, will be back up in time for you guys to comment and send us the messages you do, which are so great. This episode was edited and produced by Brett Fuchs. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week. And until then, no bad
energy.